Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, if you have, it's probably us. Because we've been doing this since we were in college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Married at First Sight recap. God, it's finally to the end. It's the second episode of the finale.
Part two of the reunion. And it's not the end because we still got one more to go.
Jesus Christ.
It's crazy. No, he will not be there.
He doesn't make enough money for Merla, so that's why he's not there.
But he probably would have done a better job matching these couples than the experts, because the experts were, they're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, we kind of figured we hit this, the nail on the head, and that this was going to be the best season ever. It's probably the worst season.
It's terrible. I don't know why you like this show. This is terrible. It's making, I love you, man. We've known each other over 20 years, but over these past many weeks and many hours of watching the show, I'm really judging our relationship.
That's fine. I've judged ours for a long time. Let's talk about part two of this Married at First Sight season 13 reunion. And to get you guys caught up on what's happening here, because if this is your first time checking us out, or maybe just your second, let me just let you know why Terrell has this sort of disdain for this show. It's because he's really not a fan of reality TV, right? But somewhere down the line, he decided to make a deal with the devil and said he would never watch reality TV until there was a Black Bachelor. Why he did that, I have no idea, because in comes ABC, said, pandemic, we got something for you. Here's Matt James. So he's stuck watching The Bachelor, me being the great friend that I am. I said, you know what? Great. I'll watch that crappy-ass show with you. And so I did. And in return, him being the great friend that he is, see, I said it again this time. I said, you're a great friend. See? Okay, it works. He decided to watch one of my favorite shows. Maybe reluctantly decided to watch one of my favorite shows, Married at First Sight. And here we are, season 13. It's been a long season. I will admit, even as a fan of the show, it's been an extremely long season. But here we are, finally, almost to the end, part two of the reunion. And Zach and Michaela, we saw this explosion about to happen. And then it was very anticlimactic to start off this episode, because they never, as soon as she walked on the scene, he walked out and he ran. Tail between his legs, took off running. But when they finally got them to sit back down again, and they didn't sit down together, I'm glad that Zach finally admitted that he lied, because he's told us over and over again. We keep seeing people different places saying, oh, no, they only had sex once. And Terrell and I have told you, ladies, this. They haven't. The reason why he keeps saying the things he's saying, because he still wants to lay in the bed with her. And he finally admitted that. Oh, he said, oh, it wasn't 7 to 8 days. I don't remember if he gave the exact number of days, but he did say the number of times that they had sex, about four or five times. Yep. Regardless, it was more than what he said before.
It totally was. And I called it from the beginning. There's something about Zach that's shady. And Zach has his issues. And I think that you and I both know this, but also the people who have commented on our recaps. We all agree that Zach and Michaela both need counseling, right? They both have some issues. Now, there was something that somebody said in the comments on one of our recaps. And they said that if the sex is amazing, would a man still be in, even though he doesn't like him? I think they're referring to Gil and Merla. But regardless, I think this is important for Zach and Michaela, because you and I kept talking about how fine Michaela is. And we think that Zach was just so caught up in the physical that he didn't want all the relationship. And so it really opens up a good dialogue, right? To say that, is it possible that a guy or woman can be so caught up in the physical aspects of a relationship that they ignore all these other red flags? Because there's red flags from both. I mean, Michaela is a hot mess. She needs some counseling. Zach's a hot mess. He needs some counseling. But is it possible that the sex is just a thing? And is that something that plays out in other relationships with other people?
Look, we said this from the beginning about Michaela. Like, yeah, Michaela's a nutcase. She's crazy, but she's also crazy. So you can see that. And we know why Zach kept going back and why Zach was there. Even though he'd run away, we knew exactly why he kept going back. And we kept saying that. And no, well, they've only had sex once. No. I know that that's a lie. You know that that's a lie. And I, we just need everyone else to kind of realize that, yeah, Michaela's a little batshit crazy. She may lie a little bit, but he's lying too. And here's the thing. The thing that really irked me about Zach, especially in this entire thing, with this reunion, he's like, yeah, well, I was willing to sit down with her, but when she said what she said, I'm not going to do it. He was playing a five-year-old child and going, well, you know what? Well, if she wants to tell me that, she can text me or unblock me and so I can call you. But you're not going to sit down and have that conversation on the show. You know, if you want to prove your point, you sit down with that person, you keep your calm, and let them keep showing they're crazy because you're in a better light. But Zach, you're not fooling us. You may have some of these women fool who are looking at you with starry eyes and hard eyes. We're not fooled because we recognize that bullshit.
Yes, we do. And I think there's someone that follows or subscribe to the show that's a psychologist. I would love for her to email rgrtpod@gmail.com and see if we can get her on the show. So maybe she can help give us some insight about these people. Because you and I have not looked at this from a psychologist perspective. We looked at this from just like, we looked at this from just like, oh yeah, that's that bullshit. You crazy. Like we just exactly. Totally straight judgy as fuck type mentality, right? Yeah. But Zach is on a whole nother level because he really tried to make himself seem like he was this better than thou person and trying to make Michaela look bad. But then also on the flip side, trying to make it seem like he's doing everything he can to make this work because he's a perfectionist and he wants everything to be perfect. I'm like, dude, you are crazy. And you were saying some of the most crazy shit to this girl that you know is crazy. So I would love to hear more people comment. And we are totally open to inviting people to join us. This is not just the Yanni Terrell show. If there's anybody that feels like they want to come on, email us at rgrtpod@gmail.com and say, hey, I want to come on and show how Terrell is right. Or I want to come on and show how much Yanni is wrong. Whatever you want to do. I say you do that, but we would love to have some other voices.
I knew it.
you knew I was going to do that. 20 years of a friendship. 20 plus years. You know me. You know where I'm going.
So Johnny and Bob were the next ones up. Last couple up on the couch with Kevin. And Johnny's so dramatic, man. I mean, the thing with I don't understand with Johnny is how do you not understand Bao saying, if you say no on decision day, that's it. I don't understand how you think that. Are Johnny and Zach the same person? Because I'm trying to understand. And that's why Johnny's trying to justify why he said yes. Because leading up to decision day, I don't know how he thought that she would say yes, considering that all the crap that he said about her. The things that he said, like, you could have literally matched me with anybody else and it would have been that much better. Yep. And I like to see them in a good space right now. They seem good because Bao is unbothered. She's done. Bao is the person that when they're done. And she said that. And that's when everybody's like, huh. And Johnny should take a note. She's done. And it's cool. But don't try to justify you trying to save face on TV by saying yes. And the other thing, too, that I thought was crazy. Why does he say she's being two-faced and manipulative? Because she said she wants to keep their sex life private. I don't understand that concept. She said out of respect for her family, her coworkers, and her friends, she wants to keep that private. I don't understand the problem with that.
In a normal world, you should keep that private, but yet you went on a public show. So there's certain things you have to share with the community. What Bao, I think, is trying to do is say, hey, let's be respectful. We got to share some stuff, but let's not get all too crazy. Like, I don't want you telling anybody on camera that I like you to do X, Y, Z. Or, you know, you like to be pegged. Whatever it is that Johnny's into. And Bao could be into some BDSM. Whatever. Maybe that's something you keep between you two. But you could say, hey, we've been intimate. We consummated the marriage. No one judges when they say they consummated the marriage. No one ever asks, hey, did you consummate some marriage? Yep. How? Oh, well, you know, a little pegging. A little this. I got, you know, handcuffed, a little whipping. She peed on me. You know, all these different things. Like, that doesn't happen, right? So it's just like no one needs to know all that. And so maybe Bao was trying to say, hey, let's keep that part intimate and private.
But she did admit that they did consummate the marriage earlier than they originally said. And I understand that because they're not the first couple and they won't be the last to do that. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all, because especially because they had a history. They are not strangers. So
we all would have thought the first night.
The first night they would have. Because I think Bao has always had that sexual tension and Johnny's always been curious.
Right.
But then I'd made this comment that whatever Bao did is not enough for Johnny, because Johnny wants more shit. And so I think that there was one point when we were commenting on these or doing our recaps, it almost made it seem like Bao's the super freak and Johnny's the prude. I would go back to say, no, not quite. But I would also say that Johnny has his issues. You know, he's this emotional thing. I just don't get it. Like, and I don't mind guys who are emotional. I think everybody should be open to share. Johnny is like a little bitch about a lot of this stuff. And I'm just like, what woman is interested in that? Like, I know women that like a guy who is sensitive, whatever, but he's on a level where I'm just like, what woman's going to like that?
You know, we can agree to disagree on who's the what, because Johnny may think he is, and Bao, I think, is more so than he is. She's just willing to keep that shit private. While he likes to say that Johnny just didn't like the fact that he couldn't control her, and she wasn't going to just bow down to every fancy that he had.
Bao wasn't going to bow down, is what you're about to say? That's what you're doing?
That's a
fucking layup. You're better than this. You've been in radio for 20-something years. You're better than this. Do not do that.
Interesting thing, when we knew they were going to do this, they were going to bring the women up there as well, too, because they had the men up there. They had the women up there, and one of the first things they talked about was Rachel and Jose working it out. And I will say that, you know, while the women were surprised that her and Jose were working it out again, it's the exact reason why she didn't tell them. Because she had talked so much shit about Jose to those women before that she was almost embarrassed to tell them that she was trying to work it out with him. And it's the problem that people make. Keep your relationship issues within that relationship, because you go bad talking to your friends, especially all your friends. What happens when you make up? Now they're looking at you like you the fool, because they're never going to look at that person the same.
Well, here's the interesting thing about that relationship is that it's not so much about the other women on the show. That's not, I really don't think that's Rachel's issue. It's her family and Johnny's family. And if you go back into Jose's family. If you go into like Latin culture, that family, that marriage, that's a big deal. And so part of me wonders, is some of that issue, right? Where she feels like, hey, traditionally, this is what we do. And if I commit, I'm all in, right? Regardless of what Myrla thinks, regardless of what Michaela thinks, because Rachel is smart. She can be like, hey, I appreciate y'all's opinion, but y'all are cray because I'm watching y'all shit too, right? But I think for her, it's one of those, like, this is, you've met my family. You've met my brothers. You met my dad, my mom, whatever. I mean, it's a big deal. And same for Jose. Like, it's a big deal in that culture. And so maybe she's trying to fight the stereotype and say, I did all I could to try to make this work, and it didn't work out. You know, but yet you and I agree, and I think majority of everyone that comments on our Married at First Sight recaps agree that there's no way that these two should be together, because Jose has some issues.
He does have issues. They have both said that he's been working on it. I think he's recognized. And here's the thing. Sometimes you've got to give people the opportunity to change, right? And she knows that she's recognized this. Now, if she's decided to give him this other chance, as a friend of hers, you go, I don't agree, but I'll support you. But he does this shit again, you gotta bounce. You can't let this happen a third time, a fourth time. You can't allow this, right? Because it gets worse. Now, I personally, and we've said this before, he cursed her out and then locked her out the house. There's no way that she should ever return, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, she did. Now that she's there and they're like, oh, we're working towards this. Even the other guys are saying, oh, yeah, well, I noticed even a difference in him, because before he's like, oh, yeah, I'll get Rachel to come. And now he's like, well, let me ask Rachel if we can come, you know? And so it seems, but we know things can, it can be this right now and it can change. But then again, if we don't allow people to change, because you are not the same person you were 20 years ago.
Very true. I totally agree with what you're saying, and I commend that. Virtual high five. But Ike Turner was one way in the 70s. And in the 90s, he's still the same Mike Turner. So I'm just saying that it's not a one-size-fits-all mentality. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. But, yeah, Ike Turner back in the day was, hey, I realize I'm wrong. I need to work on this. Pray for me. And then it's all of a sudden Eat the Cake anime. Totally different person, right? So all I'm saying is that I look at it a little bit differently. That this person, you know, Jose has his issues. But Jose is who Jose is. And the thing is that Rachel doesn't bring enough power or finance into a relationship to change Jose's mind. Mm-hmm. Because Jose is the power person. And so the fact that Jose is the power person, no matter what Rachel says, it's Jose's way.
Yeah. You know, they brought on the non-experts, as I like to call them. And yeah, I get it. It's nice to hear them talk about some of the couples. Then even sat down with Rachel and Jose, and sat down with Gil and Merla, because those are the two couples that said yes on decision day. Of course, they've both had the issues since then. But rather than even getting into all the stuff that they talk about, because the real villains in this entire season 13 is the non-experts, right? Because
it's me.
No, it's the non-experts.
I'm the biggest villain. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I've suffered the most.
These people together.
I've suffered the most than anyone else.
Well, the villain doesn't suffer. The villain is the one that makes everybody else suffer. I didn't say victim. I said villain. Now,
I'm sorry. I thought I heard victim. I'm like, no, right here. Biggest victim of them all.
The question, I think, which is interesting, is they asked them, which couple surprised you the most? And it makes me want to ask you that same question. Which couple surprised you the most?
The couple that surprised me the most is Rachel and Jose. Because after that verbal blow up, I was so disappointed, because I'm like, did you hear what he called you? Did you hear how he spoke to you? Mm-hmm. And you still chose to be with this person. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I was totally anti-Gil and Merla from the beginning, and I think everybody knows that. And everybody knows that I was right, despite the fact that they worked this shit out to get through the end of it, to only lie. I mean, I'm so pissed. I'm so angry and frustrated about this whole Gil and Myrtle thing. Don't even get me going. But the couple that shocked me the most was Rachel and Jose, because I felt like after that blow up, I thought that would have been an eye opener. And then when she hung out with her best friend, and her best friend was like, are you serious? And like saying these things, I thought that was going to be a motivator for her to not go forward with the wedding or to not ask for the divorce. I thought, like, girl, you should see, this is obviously all not going to work out. The way he treated you when he locked you out the house and all that. I thought that was just a given.
For me, the couple that surprised me the most is not Jose and Rachel. And it's definitely not Gil and Merle, even though it was a surprise when they finally made it kind of work. I think it was definitely Johnny and Bob, because I really thought that they would be the ones that would make it through. And I'm like, these two will make it. They had the familiarity. I'm like, yep, she may be a little reserved, but he'll bring a little bit of that out. And, you know, we had all this discussion. They kind of surprised me the most. But I think even if you go further to the most surprising moment was Gil actually finally breaking down on the reunion show. And I think to me, it was one of those things to watch him fall apart. You realize how much he was really into this. And I've seen people comment, like you had Poetic Poems who said, I never saw Merla show Gil that she liked him. I'm not talking about what said. I'm talking about what I saw. What mm-hmm. was Gil watching so intently that he didn't see? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, because in that same vein, you saw Maritza who said it would make sense that Johnny said yes to Bao in Decision Day if he and Merla were in cahoots to both say yes and then drop them like Merla did to Gil. And it makes kind of sense in that sense. It really feels like Merla just kind of set him up, because there was a lot of things that she said to Dr. Pepper that just, you know, I've never thought I would be so deserving of a man like this.
I'm sorry. Let me just shut this down right now. Because as men, we always joke about women not being held accountable. Mm-hmm. And they chose the situation. it didn't work out. And mm-hmm. then they complain and then we judge them for it. Mm-hmm. Gil is that person because you got into a situation that you knew from the beginning Merla mm-hmm. was not changing. Merla stayed Merla 100%. Yeah. And you chose to stay with her and say you loved her and it didn't work out because you thought she was going to change and be something different. You knew yeah. you didn't have financial taste. Or let me back up. You didn't have financial goals that were similar, but then also you didn't have financial taste that was similar. And so it was not going to work out. But the fact that Merla chose Merla, it doesn't surprise me because no. I was arguing this from the very beginning. But the fact that Gil is upset, I don't feel any emotion or sensitivity to Gil. I think you get all pissed off and all that. That's your fault because she was honest with you from the beginning and mm-hmm. told you who she was, and you still chose that. And then you got mad that she didn't change who she was.
But so here's the thing about that. Even with Gil, when he left out, walked off the show, right? And he even said, you know, I found myself in a negative space and I can't, I'm always a glass half full guy. I don't want to be in this negative space. And I get him. Remove yourself from that situation because this is the thing that we talk about. That people like Michaela, who actually followed him off the stage and got to hear this, and hopefully that kind of flipped the switch in her head. Like sometimes you just got to remove yourself from the situation because if you're in a negative space and you're not accustomed to living in that negative space, I always like to say negativity is a cancer and it will grow. So sometimes you've got to remove yourself. And the way Merla was smirking over there and Johnny's over there smirking, Gil wanted to go over there and smack the shit out of Johnny. I wanted to smack the shit out of Johnny for Gil, okay? So I'm
you
not
You said
mad
Johnny
for
Gil. It's like Johnny Gil. It's all I heard in my head. It's like Johnny for Gil. I'm like, this is hard. Let's just be honest and call it what it is. He fights fires. He saves people. I'm not taking that away from him. He's still a great dude. He's being a little bit of a bitch.
And to be fair, because one of the things Merla said when she sat down with all the women on stage, she said, oh, well, you know, nobody wants to be called a diva and high maintenance all the time. Yet they ran this montage of her being her. And one of the things she said about herself, she said she's a diva. Something else she said about herself, she said she was bougie. You know what else? Johnny called her a diva later in the show. She had no problem with that. She was still tapping his arm, you know, and all that. She has no problem being called a diva. She just didn't like Gil, and she set Gil up for the okey-doke.
Well, she said all the time. It's one thing to be called a diva. So, for example, you call me an asshole, I call you an asshole, because we've known each other 20-something years, and we get each other. But we don't do it all the time. You know, like every time we have a phone conversation, what's up, asshole? We don't do it all the time. It just varies. Yeah. But we joke about it because we know each other a little, and we know that we have those tendencies. But if you were to like call me and like call me an asshole every time that we talked, at some point I'm going to be like, well, fuck you, Yanni Rude. I would totally say it, right? So I'm just saying that there's a little bit of a difference there.
Before we get out of here and get ready for this, where are they now, and find out if all these internet rumors are true, the one thing that they asked the couples a lot was, who should have been matched with who? And of course, you know, you've got the preemptive, oh, well, Johnny and Merla maybe? If you could have matched any other couple in there, who would you put together?
I would have done Brett and Zach. I would have done that. Ryan wouldn't have been a part of the show.
Right.
Michaela would not have been part of the show. I would put Gil and Bao.
Really?
Yeah, I would put Gil and Bao. Because I think that they have a much better, could have a much better connection. We know they don't.
Yeah.
But they could have a much better connection. I would put Gil and Bao. Johnny would not be a part of it. Mm-hmm. Michaela would not be a part of it, and Merla would not be a part of it.
I would have loved to see Merla and Jose, because I think those
it wouldn't
two,
have worked
she
out.
Would have checked Jose. Oh, it definitely wouldn't have worked out, but it would have made for great TV, and she would have checked the shit out of him real fast. So all that controlling shit he wanted to do, she would have checked him real
Could
fast.
Be. Could be.
It would have made for great TV. But yeah, I mean, I'm not mad at the other ones that you said as well, too. Bao and Gil, I could see that.
Bao and Gil would have been like a perfect couple. I don't see them like not working.
Well, we still got one more week of this to go. And then come to find out, season 14 is in Boston. It starts January 5th. So we're back then. Until then, we're still doing our regular episodes, audio dropping on Monday, video on YouTube on Tuesday. And then next week, we'll have one more Married at First Sight recap, the Where Are They Now recaps. And we'll check that out. We'll do that next Wednesday, audio and video Wednesday night, first thing Thursday morning. You know, hey, tell a friend to tell another friend. Check out the recaps over the holidays, and we'll do this again come January 5th, because really, really excited about season 14 since Terror made another deal with the devil.
We're not really excited.
These devils.
No, yes, let's just stop that shit right now.
Yes, you
we're
are.
Not really excited about season 14.
Yes, you are.
This is ridiculous. And so tell a friend to tell a friend that this is bullshit. I'm so angry. I just don't know what to do with
it. It's okay. It's okay. It'll be okay. I'm Yachty Root.
I hate you. It's okay. It'll be okay. I hate you right now. I'm just Terrell.
Make sure to follow us at Yachty Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, be sure to send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit. We'll share it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
I hate you.